food, foodies, food blogs, foodwars, food wars, food flicks, food nets, food porn, food art, food for thought, food on the mind, everywhere. I spent an hour researching gastronomy in my local bookstore recently, and a startling number of titles had the words food, eat, cook, kitchen, or recipe in them. Kitchen wisdom. Cooked. Never eat your heart out. Women, food, and God. Kitchen confidential. Eat, pray, love. Food rules. Cooking for Mr. Latte. My kitchen wars. The art of eating. In the night kitchen. And on and on. Some recent, some older. Many selling like, well, hotcakes. In a few of these books, cooking and eating weren't even all that central, except perhaps as lures for the hungry reader. But I was drawn to most because I almost always want to buy them. I don't count as a true foodie, like some super sophisticated diners, nor as a passionate culinary expert at the stove. Yet I share in our culture's persistent need to engage in gastronomic ruminations, devour cookbooks, some 24,000 are published annually, subscribe to culinary journals, nibble at restaurant reviews, collect DVDs of such films as Babette's Feast, Like Water for Chocolate, and Ratatouille, and gaze with fascination at Nigella Lawson, or Rachel Ray, or Emeril Lagasse while exercising. Reviewing A History of Alice Waters and Chez Panisse, a writer for Booklist observed that the book will even interest readers who haven't been to Waters's famous restaurant, but do enjoy reading anything about food, and who doesn't? The question is rhetorical, since just about everyone lately seems to want to read about one aspect or another of food. After all, my title search was limited. What if we factored in other edible words? Not just edible itself, but stove, cake, spice, appetite, and so forth. Discussing the ever more numerous novels in which recipes enrich and often leaven narratives, Adam Gopnik has speculated in The New Yorker that perhaps cooking is to our literature what sex was to the writings of the 60s and 70s, the thing worth stopping the story for to share, so to speak, with the reader. But beyond what some have called recipe novels, we now face an ever-expanding pantry full of recipe magazines, recipe poems, recipe memoirs, recipe histories, recipe travelogues, and even recipe polemics. Beyond these recipe genres, mailboxes bulge with commercial and academic food journals, from Saveur to Gastronomica. Computer monitors light up with alimentary blogs and restaurant critiques, Urban Spoon, Chowhound. Bookstores are stuffed with anthologies of food writing from the Library of America, the New York Times, the New Yorker, and others, along with volumes profiling celebrity chefs, debating the politics of food, analyzing the medical or cultural rights and wrongs of eating, and musing on both the mores of contemporary fast food chains and the morality of the contemporary food chain. Newspapers cover popular competitive eating championships, including not only the famous Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, but others focused on ribs, wings, and grilled cheese sandwiches, the last of which once featured a sandwich on which an image of the Virgin Mary was said to have appeared. And as for other media, artists from Giuseppe Arcimbaldo to Andy Warhol and Wayne Thiebaud have long focused on sometimes grotesque, sometimes luscious still lives of food. But now, the pop star Lady Gaga makes headlines with costumes fashioned from flank steaks, a meat bikini, a meat dress. In the meantime, hit movies focus on the triumphs and trials of cooking, while the Food Network and its rivals rivet viewers with stoveside counsel, culinary travel, and such pseudo-sporting competitions as Iron Chef and Top Chef, capturing larger audiences than most of the cable news channels.